I don't know who I am. I don't know how people see me. And, you know, I just want to keep living my life and living my truth. But I sometimes worry, like, where is that going to take me, you know?
Sit back and relax as today's program guides you through all things pop culture and the deepest corners of the internet. Warning, may cause brain rot.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Brain Rot. How are all my brain rotters doing? Are our minds totally decayed this week, or do we have a few more brain cells to spare and just vibe and hang out? Also, quick shout out that if you are listening to this podcast and you're driving or doing any activities where you can't watch the video, we are available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and pretty much everywhere where you can listen to podcasts. It is the heat of summer here in Toronto. I have been sweltering and dying, but not only just because of the heat here, which is like a humid, smothering blanket gagging me 24/7, but I've been sick for like the past week, and so that's been really shitty. And I hate having especially a summer cold because you just want to go outside and enjoy life. But yes, I was sick for like just over a week, I want to say. You know, just sinus issues, stuff like that. I wasn't feeling myself, so that's why this week's podcast is a little bit late, but I am happy to be back here with you guys. We're going to get into it today. I have so many different topics and things that I want to talk about. And just off the top, I want to remind you guys that the book club I'm doing on this podcast is going to be having its first little book review moment, which is Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. And I'm going to be diving into that in the next podcast. So if you've been following along, whether you've been doing Audible or you've been doing your library books or you went to your bookstore and bought it, just be ready for that because we're going to dive into that. And I'm also kind of wondering, you can let me know in the comments, if we're doing like a book club, I want it to be kind of interactive. So I'm like, should I also do like a live stream in tandem? Like I'll talk about the book in the podcast a little bit, but I'll also maybe do a live stream as well. And we can like live chat about the book and what we think about it, our reviews and our thoughts. Cause I think it's so fun when you finish a movie or you finish a book and you're really passionate about it to just share your perspectives. And as someone who also loves to write, I always feel inspired no matter what I read, whether I liked it or didn't like it. It inspires me because I can think, oh, I would have done things differently. I would have done them this way. Or I'm just like flabbergasted and inspired and like, damn, like that was amazing. Like I could only hope to write something like that. So definitely something I'm considering. Let me know what you guys think down below. Off the top, I want to jump right into music. It's something I haven't talked about too much in the last few episodes, but there is a lot of exciting things happening in music right now, at least to me, and stuff that I'm interested in. Charlie XCX came out with her album Brat, which I absolutely love. I am not like the number one Charlie XCX stan. I've never been like super crazy for her. I do think she's so talented and such a great songwriter and producer, and she has a very modern sound that I feel like is ahead of its time. But that being said, I was more so into her like early stuff, like the I Don't Care, Icona Pop, Boom Clap, that kind of stuff. She kind of lost me a little bit in the middle there, but I feel like now I'm like hooked again. I love Brat. I really like the Girl So Confusing song. And that song, to me, I was like so curious about it. Not only do I love the sound of it, but I love the personable stories that she's kind of diving into and sharing on this album. It's very pop, but it's also very deep. And that's like my favorite genre of music. And she kind of was talking about how she like went out for dinner with someone who has the same hair as her. And, you know, she was wondering, like, people said that we like should get to know each other. We talked about music, but we don't have a lot in common. I can't tell if you like me and if you're being honest or if you want to see me fall and you want me to fail. You know what I mean? Like that kind of competition aspect, especially for women in the music industry. And I was thinking to myself, who could this be about? You know, who has the same hair as Charlie XCX? The lore behind the whole song was so intriguing to me. And this is just someone who has no tea on the situation, no clue who it was about. But just listening to the song and hearing the story, I was like, wow, I want to know more. And what happens? Last night at midnight, she releases a different version of the song, a remix with Lorde featured, because this song, what I'm assuming, is about Lorde. We have the same hair, and Lorde references that in her verse, and it's so, so good. And she talks about things from her perspective and how she felt awkward meeting Charlie XCX and how she didn't really know what to do. She was feeling like self what's the word? Like not self-aware, but when you're feeling like deprecating towards yourself, like she was feeling very self-conscious. And she's talking about her own issues with her body and her struggles. And so you kind of see, it's like a call and answer where you have someone who's saying, okay, like I met this person and I don't know, like if, you know, she was a real genuine person or not. And you, the listener, are like, okay, you're hearing Charlie's side of the story and you're like, damn, like was she, who knows? And then you hear Lord explain her perspective, and it's a classic case of, you know, people that were just both kind of dealing with their own insecurities, and it caused them to be like almost two ships passing in the night. But now they work together and they release this song, and I think it's so, so cool. And I do think they have similar musical vibes in a way. So love, love that. Another person I want to talk about is Chapel Roan. She's just blowing up everywhere, so you guys have probably heard some of her songs by now. My friend Jill actually recommended me to listen to her, and I gave her a couple listens, but I just wasn't in the mood at the time when she recommended her. But I've since looked into it more. I see her all over TikTok. Love her. She's so talented. Her vocals kind of remind me of like Kate Bush, people have been saying, as well. Just her like whole stage presence and her vibe. I haven't seen this a lot, but she kind of reminds me in some ways of Cyndi Lauper. She's just very like, she's got this theatrical, almost 80s like style and vibe to her music. It's so carefree and fun, and she's so, so talented. So I'm always so happy to see a girl succeed, especially she's been doing this for so long in the industry. I even saw like this one post on Twitter where Troye Sivan and Connor Franta were like posting with her in like 2014 and trying to promote her when she had like 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. So it's just cool to see the progression and how, you know, if you have a dream and you have something you're passionate about, keep doing it regardless of whether or not you become successful or mainstream, because you never know. And as long as you put your whole, you threw your whole pussy into it, you know, you're gonna have a life well lived. You don't have to be appreciated during your lifetime. If you are, you're so lucky and that's great. But, you know, who knows? Even if, you know, it doesn't pan out for you, you created something, you left your mark on this world, and maybe in like 20 years after your death, it'll be like a Da Vinci. You never know, right? So I think that's so cool. But yeah, definitely check out Chapel Roan's music. Absolutely love it. So, 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 so good. So a story I want to kind of get into, which is kind of cuckoo and crazy. Don't judge me. We don't judge here, but I feel like I put myself into drug-induced psychosis last Saturday. I'm being a little dramatic. I know like that's a very like medical term and like I shouldn't use those things lightly, but it really felt that way to me. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. It was a Saturday night. I didn't really get up to anything, I don't think. Like, what was I doing? I can't quite remember, but I almost got amnesia from this incident too. I had smoked weed a bit back in the day, and I like years and years ago, and every so often I'll smoke it, like once in a blue moon, like probably less than once in a blue moon. And I found this like half smoked roach in my apartment. If you don't know what that is, it's basically just like, you know, a joint that's, you know, pretty short and it's been used, and it was pretty ashy and gross. So I had this, you know, roach, and it wasn't like it was a little bit more than a roach. I would say it was like maybe half a joint. And I was like, you know what? It's a Saturday night. I didn't really get up to much. I've kind of been a homebody, and I kind of just want to smoke this and then go to bed and just like relax, right? Wrong. Terrible. I haven't smoked weed in probably like 5 or 6 months. And so my body is not used to it. And also I've always been a very lightweight for those types of things. They really affect me. Weed, alcohol, anything. Like I can't handle it. Anyways, I went and I just like was by my balcony giving a little puff puff. And I that said to myself, you know what, just smoke the rest of it because it's already a roach. You're not going to like save that. So I just, you know, puff, puff, puff. And I ended up coughing a bit. I heard that if you cough when you're smoking, it makes you more high. I don't know. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it hit me like a brick wall. I felt like I was gasping for air. And I'm by myself, right? And so I hate when shit like this happens and you live by yourself and you're just like thinking you're gonna die, like major panic attack. I started like hallucinating, I feel like. So like I went and looked at myself in the mirror. Pro tip, don't look at yourself in the mirror when you're high out of your mind. And I was like, holy shit, my eyes are so bloodshot. And I was like, damn, like this is a problem. You know, when you like drink too much or you smoke too much and you accidentally like went overboard, but there's nothing you can do about it because it's already happened and you just kind of have to ride it out. I just looked in the mirror and I knew in that moment, I was like, it's over. Girl, it is over. You outdid yourself in a bad way. And I started looking at myself. And I feel like I sometimes when I smoke and it's like a too much type of thing, I tend to have my insecurities amplified. I become paranoid and I don't really have a handle on reality. I know that I'm not in my right mind. I know that I'm not thinking properly, but I can't control my brain in these moments. And it's like this wild roller coaster ride of emotions and insecurities. And this has happened to me several times. And I think it's just because I'm a trans person, but I'm sure other people who have smoked too much weed and have other insecurities, it could tap into something like with that as the, you know, the main issue. But for me, like I start to like second guess myself. I start to think in my head, like no one actually sees me the way that I want to be seen. I think like one of my goals with transition obviously was to be seen as a woman and to just like, you know, transition and be myself. And to like, you know, just exist and move through space in a way that's like authentic to me, but also, you know, just authentic to my femininity. And sometimes I feel like we're going to get deep here. We are. I get into this very strange place where I'm questioning and I'm like, wait a minute, like, is everyone supportive of me? Like everyone who is supportive of me, are they being supportive because they actually believe what they're saying to me? And like, you know, when they say compliments, for instance, like, you know, you're so beautiful, like, you know, you've done so well for yourself, like, you're so, you know, like, more superficial in some ways, but also just on a deeper level, like, you know, you're a woman, like, I don't see you as anything else but that, you know, and like, I have people in my life that are like my hype people, and, you know, they're not trans, but they hype me up, or they act like they forgot I was trans, or, you know, and those are like affirming things that have just like happened throughout my life, and so I feel very fortunate and thankful for that, but when I was high, I'm like sitting there, and I'm like thinking to myself, like, what was all this affirmation? Was all of this support? Was it all done to uplift me in a forceful kind of way? Or is it genuine and honest? Like, do these people really think that, you know, do they really think that my transition went well? Do they really think that I'm pretty, like, in spite of being trans or because I'm trans? You know what I mean? Like, are they just complimenting me because I had a difficult life and it was hard to transition and there was adversity? Or am I like anyone else on this earth and they just genuinely thought, no, like, I like your sense of style. I was going through these like philosophical things about my own identity and how other people view me. And it's never good to do that. Like, it's just so much healthier to just exist and be yourself and not worry about those types of things. We're in our don't give a era. At least I want to be in that era. And this was the opposite of that. And sometimes it can be good to just kind of let go and explore that darkness. And I feel like I kind of allowed myself to do that. And I just felt like it was like body dysmorphia turning up the dial. Like I was hallucinating things in the mirror that just like weren't there, but I was just kind of like hallucinating myself as if I never transitioned, or like just hearing hate comments in my head from like reading them online, you know, like, oh, you have this wrong with you, you have that wrong with you, your voice sounds horrible, all these things. And I'm like, okay, I have all these hate comments, and they could be from trolls, they could be from people I don't respect, or they could be from people who are really being honest with me, and the others in my life who care about me aren't being as honest because they don't want to hurt my feelings because they care about me as a person, you know what I mean? And so in my head, with my paranoia, I started thinking like, maybe it's a little bit of both, who knows? So I just felt like I was falling down this rabbit hole, and then I started just like looking up comments online and Googling myself to find, I guess like objective perspectives on me from people who don't know me, but who like just see me online. And then I was like, you know what? Like, if you are seeing me online 90% of the time, you're probably not seeing me 100% of the person that I am. And so I really can't take that into account, but that's like me sober, me like not being greened out, and that's like a healthy thought process. But when I was like in that moment of like almost psychosis, I feel like I was unable to stabilize my thinking and to ground myself in reality. And so I just kind of fell down that rabbit hole, and it was kind of scary, and I felt like I was having a panic attack. And I almost texted my sister at 3 a.m. and I was going to be like, are you awake? Because I'm freaking out. I felt like, you know, the blood drawing from my limbs, my hands and my feet. My heart rate was obviously going fast. And I don't know, I just felt this kind of like quiet desperation of like, I don't know who I am. I don't know how people see me. And, you know, I just want to keep living my life and living my truth. But I sometimes worry, like, where is that going to take me, you know? And so just sometimes it's cool, and I don't mean that in like a dramatic way, but like sometimes it can be cool to completely detach from reality. Like I almost didn't even feel like I was connected to my own body anymore. Like I was just like so enraptured in like other people's view of me, in society's view of me, in my own like philosophies of who I am and what it means to transition. And it was freaking weird, you guys. I don't recommend it. I don't know if I like really learned anything meaningful from it, but I just thought I'd tell you guys because it was something really weird and interesting that happened to me. And I feel like sober me looks back and reflects and goes, okay, like some of those things that came to light, they were not grounded in reality. And so in that way, I can move forward and be more confident in myself because I know that some of those demons I'm fighting are demons just within my heart and in my head that I have to overcome. Elio, what are you up to? He's like causing drama. I think he wants that. He wants my little tennis balls that I put up on the console. Elio, come here. What are you doing? Come here. Come here, peanut. No. Oh gosh. Elio is like giving me the death stare. I wish I could show you guys, but I'm not going to move my camera setup, but 1 second. So yeah, that happened. And it's not even correlated to anything specifically. But I think something that's really fascinating that I like to talk about sometimes, just because it is my life experience. I know we get sick of the trans stuff. Like no one's more sick of it than I am, but something that I'm even more sick of than like, you know, just always having to talk about trans things is also, just the shallowness of physical appearance. I obviously put time and effort into fashion and into makeup and hair and looking how I want to look. And like all that stuff is so important to me. But I think because before I transitioned, you know, I obviously lived as a boy growing up and whatever, and I wasn't so connected with my own body and my own sense of self. I never really had that kind of pride in that way. And I was kind of, you know, a background character. And that was like how I felt. I felt like more of an observer of life than like a liver and a doer. And in some ways it was really peaceful. I think what I'm getting at is that I didn't feel so perceived. I felt like I wasn't a threat to anyone. I felt like, you know, I could just kind of be a people pleaser, and I kind of lived that role for a long time. And so to transition and to all of a sudden it felt like overnight almost, to all of a sudden be moving through this space as a woman and in the world as a woman, at least optically, because I know there's a lot of people that will challenge me and be like, you'll never be a woman, like you're a trans woman, you'll never know what it's like to grow up as a woman and all this stuff. And like to that, I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to fight over that. But what I say is that optically, I was perceived as a woman very early on in my transition. And that is a great privilege, but it's also a great mind because I all of a sudden was experiencing life in a very different way with no prior knowledge, no prior help, and no experience. And I had so many of my boundaries in life pushed, whether it was by people or friends or whoever, but mostly by men, because, you know, you're looking at someone who was never really perceived in a way that was like amorous or attraction based. I obviously was always into men, but I never experienced any romance prior to transitioning. It wasn't something I felt comfortable with in the body that I was in and in the gender that I was expressing myself as. And just in general, like I was never like the object of anyone's desire. Like no one was like, you're so beautiful. Like I never felt like someone that would exist in that landscape. Like the concept was so foreign to me. And so when I transitioned and all of a sudden, like, you know, random men were like saying sexual things or people were like looking at you differently, it was such like a strange thing for me to go through. And I didn't really have words to describe it at the time. And I kind of had to go through it all on my own because no one else that I knew had been through what I had been through. And so I feel like I had really, really what I would call low self-esteem in the beginning of my transition, especially when it was relating to relationships and to men and to everything, because I didn't feel that I was deserving of a relationship. I had lived my whole life, you know, not feeling like I was deserving of it. And I almost felt like, you know, the things that made me pretty and made me desirable after transition were makeup and like hair products and clothes. Like that's what changed about me. And it wasn't so much anything about who I was in that sense. But looking back now, I can see that like what really changed about me was my confidence and my personality and my expression of myself. But I'll be honest, the shallow aspect definitely makes a difference. And I think that it gave me a different type of attention that really wasn't positive all the time. Something that I've learned throughout transition and my own version of womanhood, whatever that is that attractiveness, it can be a privilege and it can be, you know, a tool that's used in life to gain access to places that you otherwise wouldn't have, to make friends with people that otherwise maybe not have been interested in. You know, like it can do so many things for you. But then the curse of it all that I've realized is that it's a shallow thing. It's also a fleeting thing. And it creates these dynamics and relationships and experiences that I feel like aren't as authentic. You can always form authentic relationships with people if you put in the effort. And so like it doesn't really matter on that spectrum. But just like a perspective that I wanted to dive into is that, you know, if say, you know, you're meeting with a group of people and everyone's really gorgeous and you're gorgeous and you connect on that level, you're not really connecting on like, you know, deeper issues and childhood traumas or, you know, like you don't have to go that deep, but like, I feel like a lot of the relationships that I founded throughout my life prior to transition, it was just based on common interests. It was just based on, you know, doing activities together and just like, you know, enjoying life, you know, watching shows, doing hobbies together, being creative, like, and looks and appearances and things like that. They were all just like irrelevant. And there was some kind of like peace in that, you know? I feel like something that I'm in a rut with at the moment is like this idea of being seen in a more objectified kind of way. I think what my like soul and my heart yearns for is to connect with someone on a deeper level and to really feel seen and understood. And I think I didn't feel that way in the end of my last relationship. I felt kind of like this desired prize for physical reasons and for like, you know, shallow reasons, like optically. You know, I looked good on someone's arm, but like, did they really, really deeply love me and care about the things that I cared about and see me as a person, you know? And that can feel kind of lonely in a way. And you never really know, like, if a guy is reaching out to you because he just sees you as someone who's attractive, or if he really is engaged with who you are as a person and like cares about you on that level and like wants to get to know you more in a deeper way, you know? And so I think that's what I've kind of been grappling with, you know, in my late 20s. I'm like thinking back and I've confused in some ways attention with people wanting to get to know me on a deeper level and care about me as a person versus, you know, getting their own gratification off of that, whether that's like in a relationship with a man or whether it's people wanting to be associated with someone who has like a modicum of success or a following or is like attractive in a superficial way, you know? And so I sometimes like I'm looking back and reflecting and being like, like what do I value now going forward and how can I navigate those issues? Because there's been so many times, you guys, like specifically like going on dates, it's like very overt where like I met up with a guy and we're having this like deep conversation. Like they talk about something they're interested in. I elaborate on it. I humor them. I engage with it. I talk about, you know, certain interests that they're intrigued by and all this stuff about them. And then when it comes to me, I'm like, okay, like I know, you know, we're on a date together and obviously like I intrigued you enough to go on a date with you and you asked me out. Like, what about me? Like, did you find interesting about my profile or anything? And like most of the men that I go out with or that I have gone out with, they all say, well, obviously you're beautiful. Obviously you're gorgeous. So like I noticed that and like that's kind of what drew me into you. And like while I wanted to be like, yeah, that's like such a great compliment, it doesn't feel that great. It feels almost like I was horny and I just wanted to meet up with you and I don't actually care about anything that you're really interested in. I actually didn't even really read your profile that much. And, you know, you just feel kind of like you're being used in a weird way, like used for your looks. And in some ways I even question like, do they really think that I'm like pretty? And is it just that they think like this could have been like an easy encounter for them? Or, you know what I mean? Like, is that even true? And so I just find that that's kind of sad to me. I'm not saying every man's like that, but I do notice like a pretty big pattern where men, I don't know. It's almost like if you're pretty or you put a lot of time into your makeup and your looks and whatever, it's more of a distraction to men than it is as like an opener to getting to know you deeper. Does that make sense? So I feel like going forward, I want to maybe tap less into appearances and like the social media aspect of things. Cause even the job that I do where I film myself and I like, you know, I'm kind of ranting, but I feel like I have a, like an identity fatigue. And maybe that's also like why I had that little green out moment with the weed, is because when you edit videos of yourself, you edit photos of yourself, you go to events where people are like commenting on your outfits and like how you look and all these things, you get sick of it. Like, this is just my skin sack. Like, I kind of just want to like wear a sweater and sweatpants and just, I'm having like a winter moment in the middle of summer, which just doesn't jive well in Toronto. I spend all winter wishing for summer and, you know, feeling depressed. And then summer comes around and now I'm in this like winter mood where I'm like, I just don't want to be like seen or perceived. And I just want to like hole up in my bedroom and like write a novel or something. So I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm sure I'll feel fine next week and I'll be back on my like A game when it comes to like, you know, going on dates and stuff. But just something I've thought about. It's this like curse of like trying to look pretty while also trying to like get to know people on a deeper level. And like if you're putting an effort into looking like superficially pretty, are you then taking away time and effort from nourishing your soul and your mind and body and everything in that deeper kind of way? So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't have one. I don't have an answer to that. Another music topic I wanted to talk about is Katy Perry 6, her new album that's coming out, and her song I think is releasing on July 12th, and it's called Woman's World, I think, and it's kind of being dragged on social media. I heard that she has a 6-album deal with Dr. Luke, who is the infamous producer that has worked with Kesha and had that whole lawsuit happen and everything, so there's obviously that cloud of drama going on. So she did a couple albums with him. I believe she did One of the Boys with him, Teenage Dream, and Prism. And those are probably her 3 biggest albums of her career. And then she did 2 albums without him, Smile and whatever the other one is. I'm not even sure. And what is it called? Oh, it's the one where she like has short blonde hair and she has like an eye on it. What's it called? God, I can't remember. But regardless, she's coming out with a new album and she's re-enlisted Dr. Luke and Max Martin, who helped her with her Teenage Dream album. And so this single, a snippet has been, you know, put out and everyone's dragging it. They hate it. They say it's garbage and it sounds like AI and it's just not good. So I don't know. And now people are saying that maybe it was a joke and she was like trying to lead people off the scent of what the actual single will be. But then there's also people saying that now, of course, she would say that because it's kind of flopping, even though it hasn't even been released yet. So it'll be interesting to kind of follow the developments of that. I really do hope she has a strong era because I feel like we need a little Katy Perry moment. It's been a while since she's hit the mainstream. I personally loved some of the songs she's released since, like You and I,
driving Harleys in Hawaii.
So I went to a few events this week, and it was a pretty busy week for me. I started off the week getting my nails done by Amanda Brown at Take My Hand in Rosedale. So sweet. I'll have to show you guys like a close-up of my nails. They are so, 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 so cute. I love them so much. Very neutral. It's like a Russian gel-inspired manicure, and it's got little silver hearts that are like iridescent. So cute, because I'm going to a lot of events and wearing like a lot of silver this year, and I just feel like it's the perfect little accent. And then I went to a moon poker event on Wednesday night, and that was really fun. I went with Emma, my friend is working for them, and so she invited me, and it was like a launch party for the app. If you like poker, check them out. They're called Moon Poker, and it's basically like really fast poker games. You don't have to like sit and play for hours, you know? It's like micro poker games. So super, super fun, great branding. And then I went to a beauty panel on Thursday, and that was basically just like industry professionals showing their makeup techniques, facial massaging and skincare and stuff like that, and just kind of going over all those things. And I got to meet a few cool people. I also met up with my friend Jordan, and she was there as well. She's another trans girl based out of Toronto, and I was chatting with her, and I might have her on the podcast soon, so I think that would be fun. I think it would be another great like interview opportunity, but also just like hangout sesh, and we could like gossip about like trans things that I feel like I don't always get the opportunity to do with my other guests. So super, super fun. Still trying to like schedule stuff with Emma as well. So Emma will be on here soon too. I'm trying to think of like some important takeaways from today's pod, but I think a lot of what I've talked about today is like identity focused and like soul searching, finding your like deeper purposes in life, and like just finding that sense of stability and happiness, I think, is so important. And I think just remembering that, you know, if you are going through these things like myself, you're not alone. Everyone is kind of vibing out and finding different pathways and things that are working for them. You might see someone who is making tons of money at their job, and it seems like on the surface level, they're doing great financially, but then all of a sudden, like they have a burnout and they quit their job and they, you know, absolutely lose their minds. Sometimes you just need to travel. You need to get out of your comfort zone and do some soul searching. I definitely kind of feel like that could be me at some point. I do have a crazy date story time to tell you guys though. I had a FaceTime date not too long ago, and it was absolutely unhinged and deranged. I don't know what I was thinking, but also I kind of do, because like, you know, FaceTime date is not that crazy. I feel like it's almost more safe and better than meeting in person, because there's no stakes. Like, you know, you can just click, hang up, done. So I was just literally swiping on Tinder one night, and this guy messages me. His profile looks super normal. He's like traveled in Europe. He looks really handsome. He's got that very like old money vibe with the button down shirts and the boat shoes and whatever. Just, you know, very like classy, elegant, and looks like he has his life together, right? Wrong. He asked me to FaceTime. He's like, this is gonna sound crazy, but like, do you want to FaceTime and just like get this over with? And I was like, you know what? Yes, I do. He doesn't say get this over with, but you know what I mean? Like just like break the ice basically. It was like 11 PM. It was late, but we had just matched, and I, guilty as charged, was on Tinder at 11 PM. And so we FaceTime, and he is unhinged. He answers the FaceTime call. He's got all of his hair swept to the front of his head. He's not wearing a t-shirt. His hair is greasy as and he just was like acting wild and weird. He kept on like using certain phrases or certain like turn of phrases throughout our conversation. You know when like someone wants to sound intelligent, or they just learned a new word and they use it over and over again? I think contingent was one of the words he kept on using over and over again. And I was like, blank, blank, you know, like, what are you trying to prove? And he was just in like a weird place. I don't know, like going through it. He was trying to tell me that he like worked this high level job, and I was like, okay, what is it? He's like, I can't tell you because I'm under NDA. And I'm like, oh my God, like literally, like why even bring it up then? You know, like just so obnoxious. And then finally he does tell me like what he does. He's basically doing like some coordinating with the university. I'm not going to get into it because obviously like I'm not supposed to, but like basically he just like was working with this university and coordinating certain faculties and whatever. And he was just saying that he was working like 12 hours a day for 7 days a week. week, and he was like completely overworked, and he was having a mental breakdown. He actually just like got mental health leave from work, and he was just telling me all of this, blah 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 blah, chatting through the whole FaceTime. And whenever I would try to like say something or chime in, he would say, "Don't interrupt me." And then he gave me an apartment tour, and it was unhinged. He had just recently purchased this condo, and I'll give it to him. It's a nice condo. I thought, you know, there's so many aspects to him that were impressive, you know, on paper. So I was very like locked in. And when I actually got to know him, it was like, whoa, this is deranged. So he gave me the tour of his apartment. It was fine. But then he comes to his bedroom, and on the floor is a huge pile of clothes, like a mountain that's like in front of his doorway, his like archway of the door. And his bedroom door is off the hinges, leaning against the wall. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I thought I could move the pile of clothes by pushing my door open one morning, and I pushed too hard and the door broke off the hinges. And I was like, unhinged much? It was bizarre. And at one point he asked me if I like country music, and I said, not really, like I'm impartial. And then he's like, because I have a country hat. Or a cowboy hat, sorry. He's like, I have a cowboy hat, and took it out and put it on his head. And I was just like, are we in Looneyville? Like, what's happening here? I know he was like going through a mental breakdown, and I basically like had a nice conversation with him afterwards. And I was like, I honestly don't think you should have FaceTimed me. I'm not really sure what the purpose of this call was. Like, if you were trying to, you know, make me interested in you or get to know me, this was not the way to do it, because I literally want to run for the hills. Like, this is terrifying. I wish you the best. And I really think that you should go seek out therapy, because he wasn't doing that. I'm like 99% sure that he probably has like undiagnosed mental illness that needs, you know, diagnosing pronto, because if you're having like work burnout and you're not able to function on a basic level, you have piles of clothes in your house and you're FaceTiming girls at 11 p.m. on a weeknight instead of resolving your issues, then I think you should probably go to therapy, you know? And I said it in a very nice way, and I humored him the entire time, because I honestly did feel bad for him. And I'm very, very patient with people. Yes, I am. I'm patient. I could have hung up at any moment, but I will say it was kind of entertaining. Anyway, so yeah, I went through that whole crazy thing. He did tell me at one point that his dad was an architect, and I feel like his dad probably helped fund his lifestyle, because there's no way, you know, like buying a condo at his age and like with his capacity, I was like, there's no way. But it was also like really nicely decorated inside his apartment. So I don't know. Maybe I just caught him at the wrong time. But he did like message me like later and say like, I shouldn't have FaceTimed you. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. You were totally right. I hope you can give me another chance. I never did, because, you know, in my mind, like if something like this happens, like I would be a fool to ever like reach out to someone again. People show you who they are, you know? You can't just like try to see the best in everyone, because then you're going to end up wasting your time. But it was an absolutely deranged FaceTime, and I'm so glad I never met him in person. Can you imagine if I like went out for dinner or drinks with him, like what that would have been like? I can only imagine. And I'm so glad that it was just a FaceTime, because that would have been like horrifying. He kept referring to himself as like type A golden retriever. And I was like, stop labeling yourself. Like, just, you know, when people are telling you who they are versus just like existing and showing you, it was bizarre. I hate that. Like, I hate labels for that reason. Like, I hate when people try to tell you who they are through their labels. It's kind of giving like, I don't know, like bizarre, just not my vibe. Like, I'm going to decide who you are from my own life experiences and from my perspective. You're not going to tell me who you are based on labels. And that's the way that the cookie crumbles, right? So that was my crazy FaceTime date from hell. It was kind of funny, kind of sad, kind of disturbing. But needless to say, I will also go on another FaceTime date if the opportunity arises. I think that was just kind of unlucky. And it's not like a date. It's just like a like get to know before meet in person. And thank God, you know, dodging that bullet, Matrix style. Anyways, you guys, that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time for the future podcast. I am going to have a guest on soon. We are going to vibe. And if you want to see me talk about certain topics or things that are happening in the world, let me know and I'll definitely dive into it. I feel like it's always fun to talk about those things and give my perspective. And as always, I always respect you guys when you disagree with me and you do it in like a respectful way and not in like a stupid cancellation conversation kind of way. Because I find so many people these days, if you don't agree with everything that they believe in, you are considered a terrorist. And it's like, calm the F down. Like, first and foremost, we're all human beings. We're not all going to have the same life experiences. We're not going to all agree on everything. It's so important to just acknowledge the humanity first and foremost, and to understand where people are coming from. I always empathize. I always try to have patience. And I always try to see the best in people and understand where they're coming from, you know? But thank you for tuning in. Happy brain rotting. We're going to have more pop culture topics for the next episode, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.